So what do you do when you manage a health plan, no matter which kind of funding you're doing, fully insured, self-funding level, whatever it might be, how do you manage the high-cost claimants, the people that sometimes you get a report from the insurance company, right? Like, hey, you've got three high-cost claimants that have generated over 50,000 in claims. And that's all they say. Like, sometimes if it's fully insured, they're not telling you a lot. Like, okay, what does that mean? Like, what is it? And they're like, well, we can't really tell you, like, what it is, because then you would, you know who they are maybe. So you don't have any data. It's like there's these things going on. How do you manage what I call the 1%? And there's a very interesting thing that I learned along the way that I want to share with you as a decision maker for a company, whatever your role is for the employee benefits. And this will apply if your health plan is experience rated or self-funded in any way, meaning if the claims matter. I'm going to tell you where they don't matter. They don't matter in a small group plan because it's blended, right? It doesn't really matter what's going on in your group. If you got 42 benefit eligible employees or 42 full-time equivalent employees and you got 20 on the plan, your rated small group, doesn't matter. You have 150 benefit eligible FTEs. You have 39 on your plan. You're mid-size. You are rated on experience, or if you have any kind of level funded, self-funded, reference-based pricing, any of that stuff, you're based on usage. The claims matter. So that's where this comes in. Like when you have a chance to address this, what do you do when you have someone that's generating $800,000 a year in claims? I'm looking at one now. 800 grand. Or 200 grand or whatever the number, a million, whatever it is, these are claims above 35,000, 50,000, 75,000 that are either ongoing or short term. How do you manage this 1%? Because in the paradigm of claims, 20% of your members in a health plan, and when I say members, I mean you have to add the spouses and kids, so not just employees. And this is a number very few people even talk about. Because I'll say, how many people on your health plan? And someone will go, oh, I'm going to look it up. Okay, we got 129 employees on the health plan. Okay, so how many members do you have? 129. No, if you add like the spouse and then the seven kids that one family has and you add all those, how many belly buttons on the plan? No idea. Or they say, and sometimes we see this, we can get this, oh, you have 340 members. You have twice as many. So you have all these spouses and kids. They're all adding to the plan, not just the employees. It's all the belly buttons. And so 20% of the members generate 80% of the claims. 30%, and that, so 20% generate 80. 1% of the members generate 30% of the claims. So that means if in a population of 300 members, right, spouses and kids, 300, 1% is three people. So the odds are three or four or five people, six people are generating one-third of the $3 million spend, which is, could be $1 million. So this is a big issue you should be thinking about. What do we do with that? Because you can do all the wellness you want. You can do all the Weight Watchers you want. You can do all the on-site fitness clinics you want. You can do all the telemedicine programs you want. But one person generating $500,000 in claims, or three people generating $1 million, wipes out anything you did for your wellness program or your fitness program or the 2% reduction by giving the dental and vision to the carrier, right? All these little gimmick things don't matter. When you have three, four, five, six people on your plan, sometimes you know who they are, sometimes you don't. It could be a spouse or a child. You have no idea this is happening. And so there is a specific strategy you can do that without firing the person, right? We're not looking to terminate people or necessarily restrict coverage, which is an option. You could do that, maybe restrict spouses, right? You could say employees and their children only. You can certainly do that according to the law. Some industries, it's dangerous because you have a lot of spouses, and where is the spouse going to get coverage? Because they don't work another job. They get it from their employer that works for you. That could really disrupt your workforce. Like, that could cause a major problem with some of your best employees. They could bolt on you, or they could be like, "Are you kidding me? You're not allowing my spouse. Where's she going to get coverage? I have to go find a plan for her. How do I do that?" All it takes is for you to lose a few people in that little episode to realize that was a dumb idea from our broker. Thanks a lot. Wasn't their employees. They don't care. So understand that there's ramifications if you just say you're not allowed. So let's just pretend like, hey, we don't want to just throw them out into the street because we want to take care of people. There are ways. So when you think of claims, things in your plan, right? Costs that are incurring. So lots of different ways you manage it. You can reduce the cost of that. You can delay it or postpone it. You can also transfer it. Like you can move the risk to somebody else. So take it off your books and move it somewhere else. It's still there, but you've moved it or transferred it to someone else. And that's what I'm going to talk about here. And this is the piece that when I first learned about a few years ago, I'm like, oh my gosh, you got to be kidding. This is fascinating. So when you first hear it, you're not going to believe it. And this is so fun. When I get on calls like, how do you do that? Like, how do I do that? And they want to know the specific thing. Like, how is that possible? And I'm like, we'll get to that. Doesn't matter how. It doesn't matter how your brain surgeon fixes your tumor in your head. You just want to know that he fixes it. Like, you don't need to know all the 20 years experience he took to figure it out. Just fix the tumor. So right now, we're just going to fix the issue, address the problem, which you have people on your plan generating enormous claims. What if we transferred that risk to somebody else or to another entity or another insurance company, right? And there are two ways you do this, probably more. There's two I want to talk about just to give you some validation that this is real. Because I needed examples when I first, I'm like, there's no way. Like, what? How do you do that? And then once I learned, after a period of time, it wasn't, you know, they're teaching me sort of some brain surgery. I got educated and then I realized, oh, okay, now the dots connected. Now I get it. So there's two ways you do this. And in both ways, it's important to know this is really beneficial to the employee. So what's contradictory is, wait a minute, we're going to transfer the claims off of our plan and we're going to move it to someone else's plan or to another insurance company or to another entity. So just think about that, right? You're just moving it out, you're taking it off your books. So you're not reducing it, you're just moving it. And we're not making it any worse for the employee. So we're not causing the employee to have any hardship. In fact, the employee gets better coverage when we do this. They get 100% actuarial value versus like 60% if it's a bronze plan, 70 silver, 80 gold, 90 platinum, right? So if you have a silver level plan or you have a high deductible plan, it's probably a bronze. It means the insurance company is paying 60% of the cost. The employee pays 40%. That's called actuarial value, metallic level. These are 100% actuarial. The insurance pays everything. There's no out-of-pocket for the employees, which blows people's minds when they hear it. Like, that's not possible. Okay, just because you've heard it before doesn't mean it's not true, right? You just got to accept it's true along the way, and you will realize when we're done that how it's done. Like, oh, I get it now. The dot will connect. And so that's really important. Why can we do that? Because we're saving so much money transferring the risk that paying some out-of-pocket money, like a couple grand, 8 grand, individual out-of-pocket max, 9 grand for the year is nothing. It's peanuts. If I'm saving 800 grand in claims, can I afford to pay 9 grand a year? Yeah. So it's once you see that piece. So there's two different ways. One is using the IRS code. There's a specific code in the IRS. I'm not going to tell you. If you want to learn this, we can jump on a call because the code number doesn't matter. I can tell you the code number, but you're like, okay, I have to go search it. Like, what does it mean? It's using that with the right legal process and the right implementation at the company level so you're not discriminating and it's not illegal. Knowing the code number does nothing. You have to do it the right way. And a lot of people try to do it the wrong way and you get in some serious lawsuits because you didn't follow a proven process. So one is using an IRS code. And a second is maybe using a foundation to pay for it. So there's lots of foundations that want to help people with very serious issues happening, right? This is not someone that just needs a few doctor visits a year. These are major illnesses that people are dealing with. There are foundations, many of them that could give millions of dollars for people to help them. And we have access to them through different connections. It's all legal. It's all done up and up. And so just know that when you have high cost things hitting your plan, you can step in with these things and transfer them out. But even more important, I think, for people is you want these ready to go when they happen. A lot of times we get called in when there's so many band-aids on the plan and there's so much stuff going on that it takes a few years to dig yourself out of the hole. Everything can't be implemented day one. So you have to like rip the building down and redo the foundation first and the walls. So it's in healthcare, it's not always an instant fix. You're like, hey, this is a 3 to 5 year process. And this first year, we're just getting back neutral. Like, we're not going to make a lot of progress because you have so many things that have off track. It's gotten so bad. Like, you've lost so many teeth in your mouth. I can't replace them all in one visit. You're going to have 6 visits to the dentist to fix all your teeth. It's the same thing with healthcare. If you wait too long, it just gets worse. So get in sooner. But more importantly, is have these things ready. So what's even better is on the companies that say, these things are ready to go. So when it shows up, you trigger it. And that is even better because that stuff never even shows up because you've moved it. You transfer it so quickly. Maybe it's on your plan for 3 months or so, 3-4 months, but it's not on there for a year or two or three. And then it's on your history. And then when people go to give you rates, they see that and they don't give you credit for that. Like, oh, sorry, I'm not going to pretend like that didn't happen because it could happen again. Hope this is helpful. And if we can help, just let me know.